Hello, hello, hello. I'm Jan Goldstein, and this is All That Matters. A question this week. How vulnerable are you? Now, I don't mean just physically. I'm talking about how much do you put your heart out there? How veiled or how scarred has your heart become? And let's face it, to some extent, many of us experience the scars that life will wound us, and we build that up. And yet, this week, on the eve of Passover, in a time where we celebrate holidays in Christianity and Islam and many cultures, we are celebrating freedom from that which stands in the way of our truly feeling. And I came across a writing from one of my favorite Anglo-Irish poets, David White, about vulnerability, and I wanted us to think about it this week. He writes, "Vulnerability is not a weakness, a passing indisposition, or something we can arrange to do without. Vulnerability is not a choice," he writes. "Vulnerability is the underlying, ever-present, and abiding undercurrent of our natural state." Let me say that again. Vulnerability is the underlying, ever-present, and abiding undercurrent of our natural state. He goes on, "To run from vulnerability is to run from the essence of our nature. The attempt to be invulnerable is the vain attempt to become something we are not. And most especially, to close off our understanding of the grief of others. More seriously," he says, "in refusing our vulnerability, we refuse the help needed at every turn of our existence and immobilize the essential tidal and conversational foundations of our identity," unquote. So let's take this apart for a second. First of all, the idea that vulnerability is not a weakness. Those of us who truly wish to be seen must be vulnerable. It's a powerful thing to say, "I see you," but we don't just mean we see the outer you. We see the inner you. And to be seen is a very powerful thing. It's our closest friends and loved ones, our significant others. Part of that connection, that bond, is created because we're able to pierce the shell or the hard outer shell, or we're able to lower it and allow ourselves to be seen. When somebody says, "I see you," I often think what they're truly saying is I can take in all of you. And one thing I've learned is that doesn't necessarily mean everybody accepts everything about everyone else, but that you see what they're about. It's part of what puts such walls between people. They can't quite see past it. They can't quite get to the vulnerability of the other, the person who they aren't truly understanding. And that can happen in families. That can happen in nations. But the ability to be vulnerable is not just to batten down your defenses. It's allowing yourself to be seen. And what I like, what White writes here, is vulnerability is the underlying, ever-present, and abiding undercurrent of our natural state. We are, therefore, in our humanness, we are vulnerable. It is part of the human state, and when we become or try to make ourselves invulnerable, we stop feeling the world. We stop experiencing others, as he suggests, others' grief. And when you're incapable of feeling another's grief, you're incapable of feeling. You have shut something down within yourself. You have deadened part of your natural state. And that's a powerful thought. Liberation in the Passover story is about freedom from slavery. The ways in which we enslave ourselves by putting walls between ourselves and the feeling, our feelings, our Emotions are perceptive connectors. That is something we must re-examine from time to time in order to truly be alive in the world. I go on. White writes, to have a temporary, isolated sense of power over all events and circumstances is a lovely, illusionary privilege, and perhaps the prime and most beautifully constructed conceit of being human, and especially of being youthfully human. But it is a privilege that must be surrendered with that same youth, with ill health, with accident, with the loss of loved ones who do not share our untouchable powers. Powers eventually and most emphatically given up as we approach our last breath. So in feeling your true humanity, which basically means we live in a world of life and death, some of us may feel a temporary isolated sense of power. I have power over all events and circumstances. And the poet suggests it is a lovely illusionary privilege. He calls it the prime and most beautifully constructed conceit of being human, or especially of being youthfully human, that you have this isolated sense of power over things. But just as you grow out of youth, that is a privilege that is surrendered, because we see the reality of the world. We see illness. We see accidents. We see war. We see hurt. We must recognize, yes, there is only so much we have power over. That does not diminish us. In fact, I would suggest that it empowers us in order to form more connective bonds. It is in the vulnerability that we connect with others. Not in only, I'm strong and you're strong and therefore let's be strong together. Yes, we can perhaps lean on one another's strength. But being able to pierce the hard outer shell and find the heart of the matter, well, that requires tearing down of walls, of clearing out scarred tissue and allowing ourselves to truly see and to truly feel. David White finishes this section on vulnerability by saying, the only choice we have as we mature is how we inhabit our vulnerability, how we become larger and more courageous and more compassionate through our intimacy with disappearance. Our choice is to inhabit vulnerability as generous citizens of loss, robustly and fully, or conversely as misers and complainers, reluctant and fearful, always at the gates of existence, but never bravely and completely attempting to enter, never wanting to risk ourselves, never walking fully through the door, unquote. Wow, there's a lot there to unpack. See, he suggests that in inhabiting this vulnerability that is part of our humanity, part of our humanness, we become larger and more courageous, not smaller, not lesser. We become more compassionate through our vulnerability and through our understanding, or as he puts it, intimacy with disappearance. We realize it's not forever. And inhabiting vulnerability, we recognize we are all citizens of loss. We are all, at some point along our lives, we lose. Sometimes a number of times over the course of our life. And we can be misers and complainers, he suggests, reluctant and fearful, always just standing at the gates of existence, never walking through, never fully inhabiting our humanity, our humanness. So what I'm suggesting is two things. One is we must be in touch with our vulnerability and in this moment in time, particularly feel our humanity, our humanness, not allow ourselves to be so cut off from it that we are sitting at home looking out at the world and distrustful of everyone and everything. The world cannot move forward in that way. As struggling a time as this is, you must find the spring. The Passover holiday is a holiday of spring, of rebirth. And we can find that in many different traditions. What seeds are we going to plant for rebirth right now? In planting seeds of our own vulnerability, we are making a statement to ourselves that there is a future, and we want to walk fully through the door. Walking through that door is something I challenge each of us to do in the coming week. And in so doing, seek the good stuff that life offers us. Vulnerability is not a weakness, says the poet. It is the underlying, ever-present, abiding undercurrent of our natural state. May each of us get a taste of it this week and build on it and form the connective tissue to rebirth within ourselves, within our communities, and yes, to offer up that prayer for our world. May it be so. Until next week, I'm Jan Goldstein, and this is All That Matters.